Good morning, good morning. Are you well, are you? I'm not well. I'm still struggling. I'm struggling. But you don't want to hear my troubles, do you? Because you've got enough troubles of your own. I know that. But I'm struggling. I'm not in the best of shape with the old chest infection. But I'm going to soldier on, because that's what you do when you're self-employed. You soldier on and you crack on. It is Tuesday, January 22nd, 2020, and it's grim out there this morning in Salford. It's miserable, rainy, drizzly, but it's mild. The conditions for viruses. And viruses are in the news, or a virus is in the news this morning, and we'll have a look at it in a minute. I don't have a microscope, we won't be looking at the virus itself, but we'll have a look at the hysteria surrounding it. This story developed yesterday, didn't it? Monday evening, Tuesday, and we'll have a look at that in a second. Yes, indeedy. Christopher Exley, who's a professor at Keele University here in the UK, is going to be on the radio show later on. In fact, I'll be pre-recording an interview with Christopher in the afternoon and bringing it to you on the radio show a little bit later on. I think you'll be really interested to hear what he has to say, because he's been publishing new research, which is very important to us, to everybody, really. And of course, despite issuing a press release yesterday about his research and his findings, the media in this country is not interested. But we are. That's what the independent media is here for. So we'll have a look at it, and I'll chat with Christopher Exley later on. I find him to be a very amiable fellow, and I'm sure you've seen Christopher before. He did speak to Del Bigtree, didn't he? Didn't he appear in Vaxxed? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. My brain's a bit woolly this morning, but you'll bear with me. You'll bear with me. If I make a mistake here and there, you can put it down to another restless night with the old breathing. Right, we're going to jump right into... I'm a bit distracted as well, because our new addition, our young pup, is screaming the house down downstairs because she's in a playpen. And of course, she doesn't spend any time in the playpen, because you don't invite dogs into your family home to lock them up. We don't lock them up. But when they're pups, you've got to have a playpen for those rare moments when you're not in the room. Because without a playpen, I've said it before, no playpen, you leave the room, you come back, Beirut. Beyond Thunderdome. A pup can do an atomic bomb's worth of damage to a living room in around about 3 minutes and 22 seconds. Or thereabouts. Good morning to those of you chatting away there on the chat. Particularly to Keith Skegwin. How you doing, Keith? Who's off to live in China. Keith, all the very best with that, mate. I hope you find happiness in China. I'm sure you will. Keith says he's not so much worried about the virus as he is worried about the traffic. Fair enough, Keith. That's what that comment, mate. We'll certainly come back to the virus at some stage in this nonsense that we do here in the mornings. This nonsensical YouTube live stream. And Laurie Hatfield, thanks, Laurie, for your very generous contribution. I really appreciate that. The best part of insomnia, says Laurie, is the worst live stream on YouTube. You too, Laurie, eh? You too. It's not great, is it? Insomnia. It's not great. I'm sorry to hear that. You have to carry that particular cross. I know it well, my friend. Thanks, Laurie. Lovely to hear from you this morning as well. Yeah. I think the thing to do with insomnia is just not to allow it get you... Don't be silly, Richie. It does get you down. Acceptance, I suppose. I wonder, Laurie, you might drop me a message. I don't know if you've tried anything herbal or anything natural when it comes to dealing with your insomnia. I've tried quite a lot of things over the years without much success, it must be said. Now, I'm going to be honest, because I believe in being honest. I've not had a drink since the turn of the year. Not even a smell of one. I'm drinking non-alcoholic beers. Not often, obviously, but I had a couple of non-alcoholic beers last night. And I drink a particular brand of non-alcoholic beer, which tastes exactly like its alcoholic counterpart, which is helpful. It's very tasty. And so I'm going to be honest. I'm probably a little bit better rested. No, I am. I am better rested without the alcohol. So the insomnia is not, I won't say it's not as bad. I'm still only getting 4 hours a night sleep if I'm lucky, 5 sometimes. But I feel fresher. And maybe, who knows, in the long term. But I'm sorry to hear you've got insomnia. More people than we know live with insomnia. It's strange, really. Because whenever it comes up, you know, I don't bring it up. But whenever it comes up, I'm amazed at the amount of people in my vicinity, in my circle of contacts, who will say, yeah, I have it as well. I deal with it as well, Richie. Anyway, lovely. Jason says, have a spliff. I'm not interested in cannabis or any other narcotic. I'm just stirring the shit there, Jason. Don't worry about it. I know there are many benefits to cannabis, my friend. But I'm not interested in inhaling smoke into my lungs. I think it's pretty fucking stupid, personally. If I was going to have cannabis, I'd have a cake. But then I can't bake for shit. Here's the mirror. I am suffering here, right? And I've got a lot. Yeah, okay. Ozzy Osbourne. We all like a bit of Ozzy, don't we? Television. When cameras are following you around 24/7, or at least 16 hours a day or whatever, it's hard for people not to see who you really are. And when the Osbournes went out on MTV, I watched it and I found it very amusing. And Ozzy Osbourne is as real, I think, a human being as it gets, that I've ever seen on television anyway. A complete original, eccentric, mad as a box of frogs, and very genuine, I think. And a fall that he had a year or so ago led to him being diagnosed with Parkinson's, excuse me. And he's given an interview about that, and it's made the papers today. We like Ozzy. Ozzy, during the course of his career, has probably taken enough drugs to sink a continent and is still here, just like Keith Richards. I was at the Rolling Stones 2 years ago at Old Trafford in Manchester, and I'm there with the oft-mentioned Caroline, and I looked at her and I said, how the fuck is Keith Richards still alive? Right. And Caroline says to me, it might be an hologram. I said, it fucking might be. When was the last time he was interviewed? It might be an hologram. Honey, honey. That's how she calls me. Honey, honey, honey. I said, it fucking might be. And then, of course, Roy Orbison is on tour as a hologram. Prince is going to be out there as a hologram. And Elvis is going to be out there as a hologram. Something a bit creepy about that. The Sun, Ozzy, I hid my Parkinson's for a year. Good luck with that, Ozzy. The Star as well. The tabloids featuring the Ozzy story this morning. It's mild Parkinson's. As far as I understand, it's not greatly affecting his motor skills just yet. So, anyway, there you are. Trump calls for Prophets of Doom to be rejected. Again, mentioned this on the radio show last night. When I say it vexes me to find myself in agreement with Donald Trump, I jest. But Trump is right here when he talks about Prophets of Doom. What are these people going to do if the learned men and women, mathematicians and climatologists alike, who say that towards the end of this decade, we're actually heading for a brief but very sharp cooling period, the maunder minimum. What are they going to do then, these fuckers? I actually see, I've looked into my crystal ball. I do have a crystal ball. I have a little crystal ball. A Waterford crystal ball, it is. And I've looked into it like that. I've looked into it. And I've seen Greta in 10 years' time speaking to a very old Dr. Phil on CBS. And Greta is telling Dr. Phil about how she was co-opted, how she was kidnapped and brainwashed by this fucking doomsday cult. I do see that in the future. A late 20s Greta saying, they fucked with my mind, Phil. There I was, a schoolgirl, minding my own fucking business with my pigtails and my teddies and my fluffy fucking slippers. And next thing, George Soros is banging down the fucking door, and I've been brainwashed into telling all the little kiddies around the world that we're all going to die. That's what they did to me, Dr. Phil. I see that in the future. Do you agree with that? Greta is going to be telling all about the cult in years to come. Go on, Greta. Earth's number one climate change denier is the white paper, the weaponization of language. Yes, climate change denier isn't new. It's been around for a few years, but it's being used more and more often to portray somebody who is skeptical about these apocalyptic claims, to portray that person as dangerous. Right? Okay. Trump is dangerous, of course. Not because Trump is all-powerful, but because he's a neocon Zionist-controlled puppet. And a sex offender, and everything else that he is. A criminal, right? But denying that this climate change thing is real, well, that isn't dangerous. It's just true. Metro, what have we got? More of Trump? Trump versus Greta. This is fucking nonsense, isn't it? I mean, it's absolutely nonsense. Aren't the journalists... How could you not be ashamed of your life if you're a journalist covering the World Economic Forum in Davos and you have to write about Greta as if she is a credible spokesperson? I said last night again on the radio show, for just one journalist, my kingdom, not for a fucking horse, but for a journalist to say, how the fuck do you know, you little bastard? You little bastard. How do you know that we're all going to be dead in a few years' time, that we won't be able to breathe, that we'll be fucking swimming around Salford? I'll be swimming around. Caroline swims. She does that fucking breaststroke. It's the most hilarious thing I've ever seen in my life. People who do that swimming. That's no way to swim that. It's a real frog thing. Then again, that's the Metro. The Telegraph. Tech giants to be bound by code of conduct. We'll come back to it, because it's in other newspapers as well. But the Telegraph has led a campaign now for a couple of years to compel the social media giants of the world to make life online safer for children and to make it more difficult for children to be exposed to harmful content. They've led a campaign. They have. They've banged on about it more than anybody else. And they are saying victory today, they're saying. We'll come back to that because it is interesting. Because it's not really about protecting children from, you know, child abusers or pederasts. It's about free speech. And it's about the free flow of information. And it is about preventing people from being exposed to information that you don't want them exposed to. Information that casts you in a very bad light. That's what this is really all about, I believe. We'll come back to it. Telegraph. What's in The Guardian? Amazon Jeff Bezos's boss Jeff Bezos's phone hacked by Saudi Crown Prince. That's everywhere too. Bezos opened a message from Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and then he got loads of viruses. Remember the great George Carlin? It's a big fucking club and you aren't in it. Yeah, Bezos is on friendly terms with the Crown Prince of the most despotic, murderous, human rights abusing fucking regime there's ever been. It's a big club and you ain't in it. And his phone was hacked after he downloaded this message or opened a message from the Saudi Crown Prince. The Express. Crackdown on soft justice. Well, The Express a bit late on this. This was all over the news yesterday. Okay. It's pretty piss poor by The Express, actually, to lead with this today. Because every other newspaper led with it yesterday. Who's running things at The Express? Huh? Have they got a fucking three-toed sloth in charge of the editorial fucking content of The Express? You're a bit fucking slow there, pal. This is about the making it more difficult for terrorists, keeping them in jail longer, ending early release and giving them lie detector tests. Lie detector tests. The Mail. Diana's niece is milking it too. There was a story in the press yesterday about, was it Prince Anne's kid, was it? Advertising milk in China. Apparently Diana has a niece and she's doing it too for a rival company. Fucking brilliant by the Mail. As if that matters a damn to anybody. Who gives an arse? That's in the Mail. Fucking Mail. Right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Thanks to those of you on the old live chat there. Just a couple of quick mentions. If you're not mentioned, it doesn't mean that I don't favour you. How you doing? Paddy Dunn. 2020, the year of the global pandemic. Pass me the gas mask, says Paddy. Yeah. Absolutely. Hi to Chris. Hi to Matt in Massachusetts. Hey, Matt. To Dilip, to 26, to Martin, to Julie, to Kevin Davis, to Bob, to Liz. How you doing, Liz? I mentioned Keith was off to China. Again, good luck there, Keith. Hope you find everything you want there, my friend. Good morning, Francis. Good morning to Max 1 million. It does look like an album cover, doesn't it? That photograph of the Chinese with their masks on. Good morning to Beats, who's in Wales. Good morning, my friend, in Cymru. Free Energy says, morning all. Has anyone else's local radio started broadcasting adverts stating the HPV vaccine is going to be available in schools for kids of 12 years old? I'm not surprised to hear that, that local radio is advertising that, my friend. Thanks for pointing it out. Fuck. Got to go all the way back now. This is why I don't like reading these messages. I love your messages. I love your messages. But then another one comes in and I have to scroll all the way back, which takes a bit of time. I'm sorry about that. Everybody's fucking sick. Morning to Hayden Hewitt. How you doing, Hayden? I libeled Hayden last night on the radio show, didn't I? And Graham Booth. We had a polygraph machine on loan from Quantico, didn't we? Like a magic eight ball, really. You make a statement out loud and it either confirms it or says it's untrue. And I libeled the boy Hayden Hewitt there. I made reference to his homosexual relationship with Graham Booth and the machine confirmed it. Hi to Josh. The thing that fucks me off is if this virus was in another EU country, there would be fuck all we could do to stop it from coming in because of freedom of movement and the EU. Hi to Rick. Marcus Horton. How you doing, Marcus Horton? To Patricia, Mike Rocock and Coity Dine. Lovely stuff. Simon H. How you doing, Simon? Maureen McAleer, who had a chest infection at Christmas. Hope you're better now, Maureen. I sound like a Sunday morning radio show host now, don't I? We got a bit of Frank Sinatra for Maureen there. Coming up after these messages. I did Jabba's Soapbox. Danny Jones. How you doing, Danny? Former guest on the show, how you doing, Danny? Nice to hear from you. Dave's House. Right, I'm going to move on. Got to move on. Oh, Christ. And thanks to Rick Pugh. Thank you, Rick, for... Ricky Pugh. Thanks for supporting your radio show, mate. Yeah. Tanya Bauer, how you doing, Tanya, in Australia? Steve Bennett, lovely, I better move on. I did libel the boy Hewitt there. I know I missed a call from you yesterday, Hayden. I only got it after I finished the show last night, mate. We have to talk. In fact, I might be paying you a visit tomorrow at some stage, if you're in the office, that is. I'll give you a shout later on today. Right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to bring up a story about the virus out of China. They're saying that we should be very worried about this respiratory virus that there's no cure for. They're saying there's been hundreds of cases identified in China. They're saying there have been some deaths. They are saying that we should all be worried because the Chinese New Year is only days away. I think it's the year of the rat, right? Okay, and there's going to be diligence, extra diligence at airports, people being stopped coming in maybe. Look out for people who are sneezing and all this fucking shit. Here's the thing, and don't lose your collective excrement. Maybe the virus is genuine, I have no idea. I don't believe a fucking word that I'm told by Sky News, BBC News or BBC Radio Breakfast News presenters, I certainly don't believe a fucking word that comes out of the offices of the World Health Organization. I don't believe it. We've had a million fucking scares before about viruses and flus that were going to cause untold fucking damage. And they didn't. So you know what I'm going to suggest? And I have no evidence whatsoever to back this up. None. This is a fucking drill. This is a drill. It's a drill. It's a drill. It's a drill and an observational exercise. You know, scare people. Lock down at airports. Prevent people from travelling. And see how the public reacts to it. It's a drill, folks. It's a fucking drill. It's how, in the near future, they're going to use these things to tell people you can't move, to even tell people you can't leave your house. I'm telling you. Right? And I'll tell you something else. One of the greatest men I ever had the pleasure to know in my life, Jim Mars. Rest in peace. Years ago, Jim was saying this would happen in the 21st century. You'll have health scares every fucking 6 months, says Jim. Zika and all that shit that amounted to nothing, so that they can monitor the public's reaction to it and they can see just what they can get away with in terms of imposition of, or the imposition of, restrictions, movement, travel, etc. I'm telling you, it is fucking bullshit, is what it is. This fucking virus. Nonsense. It will amount to fucking nothing. You will not see people at A&E. You will not see people hospitalised in this country in any numbers because of this fucking Chinese virus. Right? Right. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, you shower of bastards. Okay. The Democrats are absolutely fucking cheesed off. They say the fix is in. And none of them, are anything other than establishment fucking whores and puppets. It matters not whether they wear a red badge or a blue badge, whether they have an elephant fucking sign on their lapel, or whether they have the Democrat fucking badge. It doesn't matter. They all play for the elite. So don't lose your shit. They're right. The fucker was bribing the Ukrainian president. He was. It doesn't matter. Really, in the grand scheme of things, to me. So they're right, even though, you know, none of these people are any better than Donald Trump. It was pointed out to me last night quite correctly by a number of listeners. Adam Schiff is just as fucking wretched as Donald Trump. Of course he is. Okay? But they have a good point to say that it is absolutely fucking outrageous that Mitch McConnell and the Republicans can decide to refuse to allow documents into evidence and to refuse to allow people to testify. It's an outrage. Of course it is. So put your support for Donald Trump to one side, you fucking moron. Right? And accept it. The fix is fucking in. That being said, I wouldn't be surprised. I mentioned this on the radio show. If the cabal didn't bring Donald Trump down, just to throw a big fucking hand grenade right into the mix and to get people onto the streets, it wouldn't surprise me. So that's the latest on the impeachment. Okay. Let's have a look at a couple of stories in the Times. Oh, this will trigger some people. I don't give a shit though. This is Adam Libor. Oh yeah. It is the BBG. Not the BBC, hence the fucking shit graphics and the even shitter presentation. Who cares? Come on, everybody. Let's have a look at this then, the Holocaust. Next week marks the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. I visited it myself. I went to Auschwitz and I went to Dachau in my time. Jesus Christ, bad places to be. Bad energy there. It should be a time for unity in solemn commemoration. Instead, Poland, Russia and Israel are having an unseemly bust up over historical memory. As we know, if you're reading the news. Meanwhile, in Britain, plans for a new £100 million Holocaust memorial in Westminster have caused divisions, including deep divisions, in the Jewish community. There is no fucking Jewish community. There are Jews. Full stop. but they love this community thing. Now, they don't just use community for Jewish folks. They use it for everybody in the LGBT community. Where's the big Baldy Gammon community? Fucking right here. Population one. Ah! Many are opposed to the new £100 million memorial, and Adam Libor says, I agree with them. He says the grandiose project is both unnecessary and out of date. So you think, oh, that's good, but not really. The Imperial War Museum is an excellent Holocaust exhibition. The Wiener Library is there. The Holocaust Archive. Auschwitz is only a train ride away. Right? Which it is. The project is outdated because it embodies the old-fashioned top-down approach. It's an analogue solution for a digital age, he says. More money should be spent on the holocational... You see? Tiredness. The Holocaust Educational Trust. Make a donation to the Auschwitz Museum. You know, my feelings are well known. I am sick to fucking death of the Holocaust. By all means, when you're teaching 20th century history to students, by all means, read and study and evaluate the events that led up to the Second World War. Read about the events that led up to the mass internment of Jewish men and women and their murder and torture, by all means. But don't, I'm going to coin a phrase now that doesn't exist. Don't exceptionalise the Holocaust, because it isn't exceptional. The mass murder of one group of people by another is not unusual, and it's been going on and has happened many times since the internment of Jews in Nazi Germany. It has. 4 million Vietnamese were murdered. 4 million Vietnamese. I mean, fucking hell, that's the size of Ireland. That's a country the size of Ireland. That is a group of people which is about the population of the Republic of Ireland murdered. Vietnam. I never hear a fucking word about it. No Vietnamese memorials. We don't get endless fucking films on Netflix. Endless articles in the papers about the Vietnam Holocaust. We get nothing in the press or the papers about the Irish Holocaust. The genocide of Irish men, women and children in the fake potato famine story. The greatest load of bollocks ever vomited forth by a fucking textbook ever. That the Irish potatoes failed and we were so fucking stupid that we couldn't do anything else, so we all starved to death. And then we all went to America. Idly, 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 die, die, die. Bollocks! Fucking genocide! You had fucking long ships, high ships, tall ships at every fucking port in Ireland, taking food out of our country, fucking stealing it. Not going to go into it here. I could give you the whole thing, chapter and verse. Fucking genocide. You never hear a word about it. So I'm sick of it. I'm fucking sick of it. Because like Norman Finkelstein said, great Jewish man, great scholar, it's a fucking industry, this Holocaust industry. Dreadful what happened. Dreadful. But stop fucking talking about it every second of the day. It has its place in modern discourse. Of course it does. Right, I'm going to say go to Google. Don't shoot me. Go to Google. Type Holocaust, then click on news every fucking day of the year. There's some fucking story about the Holocaust. About the fucking... You know! Of course, ultimately, Zionism. And I define Zionism as the rape, murder and displacement of indigenous people in Palestine. That's Zionism. The raping of... Okay. And this never-ending... Do you know what it does? It feeds and gives oxygen to the bigoted... The genuinely bigoted Holocaust deniers. It gives them oxygen. It encourages them. Because And many of these people are genuine. They genuinely believe it never happened. They're wrong, but they genuinely believe it. And it encourages them because they say, what the fuck, like? Constant ramming down your fucking throat. We're exceptional. We're the only people. No, you're fucking not. You're not. Over 1 million Iraqis were murdered. Probably 2 million. Fuck! You can't even comprehend that. Yes. Millions of Jews. Yes. Interned. Yes. Tortured. Back in the fucking 30s and 40s. But it's happened 500 fucking times since then. Right, okay, let's move on from that. Yeah, I got excited when I saw the Times columnist was opposed to the memorial. Got excited. But not for the same reasons I'm opposed to it. He wants more Holocaust education. And I say, less. Stop fucking talking about it every other day. Stop. Stop now. Like I said, it has its place in modern discourse. It has. And there, of course, there are Jewish folks today. Because it's not that long ago, they will have had grandparents and even great-grandparents. Of course it's relevant to them. Of course. Of course. Come on. Come on. Enough already, you know. Enough already. There's a genocide in Gaza. There's a Holocaust in fucking Palestine. Let's talk about that as well, if you want to talk about them all. Oh, Christ. Oh, be Jesus. What else have we got? Right. Telegraph. The grooming gang cover-up is Britain's real racism scandal. Now, we've heard quite a bit of this in the last couple of days. This is running all week long. Lawrence Fox last week on BBC Question Time, right? Right. That's real racism. He said, he has a point. I, of course, don't believe that the genuine reason for ignoring the Pakistani grooming gangs was in order to avoid a race war. I believe that's the excuse they're giving the public now. I believe it's because there is a chain. Paedophile gangs, grooming gangs, epidemics, and that chain goes up and up and up and up and up and up. And up at the top of it, you've got some very powerful people. Businessmen, businesswomen, politicians, aristocracy, who rape children for fun. Okay? That's the reason. The real reason these things weren't investigated. In my opinion. They're now saying, oh, because there was a culture of, let's not talk about it, because we don't want to inflame tensions with the Asian community. There is no fucking Asian community. Don't. I know the woman living right next door to us. We've gotten to know her, we've befriended her and her husband. And on the other side, we're on first name terms with them. But that's fucking it. There's no community. People have been conditioned not to give a fucking rat's arse about the people living around them. It's all insular. It's all fucking closed doors now. I used to go to St. John's Park in Waterford City when I was a young boy. I used to get the bus from Ballybeg to my granddad's house. And you know what? When I got to my granddad's house, the key was in the front door. Until he went to bed. Honestly. Neighbours didn't knock on the fucking door. They walked in. Old school. They walked in. And then they tapped on the inside door. And then they opened it. They tapped. Jerry. Jerry. It's Mary from across the road. Jerry. Right? We don't give a fuck now. There are no communities. Everybody is obsessed with what they fucking have. Protecting what's mine. You know. Don't want to hear anybody else. Don't want to speak to anybody else. Other people have become a burden. This is what the elite has done. This is what the establishment has done to us. They have made our fellow human beings into a fucking burden. A burden. Most of us now, we see other people. Oh, fuck that. Oh, Jesus Christ. We take a fucking shortcut. You see a guy down the road who's a neighbour. Previously, you would have stopped him. You would have had a chat with him. You would have shot the shit. Now, you go, oh, fuck. Cut down an alleyway. Why? Do we ever stop to ask why? Paul is all right. Paul is all right. Why am I fucking doing that? Why am I not having a chat with Paul? Oh, I'm double busy. Fucking Mickey Flanagan, double busy. I'm important. I have fucking things to do. Yeah, and then you die. Or in the meantime, you need somebody to help you out. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not on terms with Paul, really. It's mad. It's fucking crazy. That's what I think about this fucking community nonsense. It's nonsense. Right? Right, now this is important. Because this speaks to diversity. And we're going to talk a little bit about diversity. Some of it you'll have heard many times before, but it's worth following up on today. That's the Home Secretary, or was the Home Secretary, Priti Patel. There she is there. Traitor. A self-confessed traitor. Was the International Development Secretary, took a holiday, fucked off to Israel, didn't tell Theresa May, didn't tell Boris Johnson, then Foreign Secretary, had meetings in private with the Israeli government, never said a fucking dicky bird, and came back to the UK. Imagine it was Russia! Yeah. Here she is. Horrible fucker. Right? So. The author of this article, speaking about the grooming gang's cover-up, she says this. Keeping the lid, let me just bring it up for you, it's at the bottom of the page. See it there, keeping the lid? Keeping the lid on social unrest, not upsetting the community. That was the main thing. Young girls pimped, threatened, tortured. Why? They were just collateral damage in the greater project of multiculturalism. Frankfurt School. Multiculturalism. Divide and conquer a country by pitting man against man on the basis of race and later on sexual orientation and all the rest of it. Multiculturalism. But race first. And she links to an article here written by Trevor Phillips, which didn't get much attention. I remember talking about it on the radio show 4 years ago. Didn't get a lot of attention, but we're going to have a look at it now. This old article by Trevor Phillips, who was a former, what was he? Former Equality Commissioner, wasn't he? Trevor Phillips, was he? Britain sleepwalking to catastrophe over race, Trevor Phillips. Very important, this. This was published in May 2016, so nearly 4 years ago. The former head of the Equality Watchdog, Trevor Phillips. Britain risks flames of racial and religious conflict because of liberal self-delusion over the impact of mass immigration. Okay? He said the UK is being allowed to sleepwalk to catastrophe by leaders too touchy, too smug, too complacent and too squeamish to talk about race. He drew a parallel at the time with the Enoch Powell Rivers of Blood speech, which we've all heard before. He likened Britain's politicians and the media and the educated elite to the Emperor Nero, fiddling while Rome burned. Right? Unable to recognise the dark side of the diverse society. I remember this at the time. We made a lot of this article at the time. Because Phillips is talking here in terms that I suppose if a middle-aged white radio presenter like James Whale was to talk about, he'd be dismissed instantly as a fucking bigot, as a racist. I mean, it's amazing. Liberal opinion in Britain has been almost unique in its unwillingness to speak about this issue. Race is no longer a purely black and white affair, but a divide between the majority and people with different values and behaviours. Racism is no longer about colour, but a divide between the majority on the one hand and on the other hand, people with different values and behaviours. And previously, any attempt to discuss the differences between the majority and the minority and favouring the minority, as Frank Faraday, professor at Kent University, said to me on the radio show, you got a big problem when you favour and give preferential treatment to minority cultures over the majority culture. This is what you have. He says squeamishness about addressing diversity and its discontents risks allowing our country to sleepwalk into a catastrophe, blah, blah, blah. That will set community against community, endorse sexist aggression, suppress freedom of expression, reverse hard-won civil liberties, and undermine the liberal democracy that has served this country so well for so long. He says that race rears its head when discussing practices such as female genital mutilation, but he says these are not the topics that generate public unease. Rather, he says it is the appearance of non-English names above the shop fronts in the high street, the odd decision to provide only halal meat in some schools, evidence of corruption in municipal politics dominated by one ethnic group or another. See Oldham. See Bradford. Right? Such headlines, frequently misreported, but often grounded in some real change, provoke muttering in the pub or grumbling at the school gate. That was very important. Hugely important. And what he... The dangers he talked about, we can see them on the ground in my country, the Republic of Ireland, where if you want a house... If you want to get a house from a local authority, in other words, a house or an apartment that's owned by the local authority, houses which, of course, are traditionally let out to low-income people at favourable rents, affordable rents, and those people can live there for as long as they want, as long as they can keep paying the affordable rent. Right? In Ireland, this is true. In the Republic of Ireland, you are 10 times more likely to be given access to affordable housing from a local authority if you're an asylum seeker or a refugee. And that's the truth. There's so much to this issue. Of course, the imperialist policies of the West, of the United States, of Britain, of France, of Israel have led to fucking to unimaginable murder, slaughter, destruction in parts of the Middle East, which has in turn led to an exodus from there into Europe, which we've seen. Like I've said before, don't ever blame the asylum seeker, the refugee, the other. It's what they want you to fucking do. They've created a problem. They want a reaction. The reaction is you hate the other guy. Divide and conquer, and then they carry on in the background doing what it is they fucking do. Don't hate the other guy. But it's brilliantly described there by Trevor Phillips. Multiculturalism, what it's meant to do. It's meant to disturb the majority culture, to create tension, to create feelings of isolation, marginalisation, to create feelings that the other is being treated favourably, is being looked after by my government and me and mine, the natives, we're being fucked over. That's what it's meant to do. And then you turn your ire, your wrath on the other, and it works like a fucking treat, doesn't it? Of course it does. Race baiting becomes the norm then. You see it all over social media, race baiting. Nobody wants to fucking talk about how it came to be in the first place. So very good stuff today. And again, I'm just reiterating, I believe that at the ground level, the detectives and police officers, they probably certainly believed that when the Home Office told them to ease back on investigating the Pakistani men and the mosques, the grooming, I believe that the young men and women of the police, they probably believed that the directive was all about preventing racial tension. But I believe it's bullshit. Ultimately. It's what I believe. In my heart of hearts. Yeah. Here's a shocking fucking article in the Telegraph today. Shocking. And it's about Libya. If I can find it. Oh, yeah. The best laid plans of mice and men. Good morning to those of you there. I've had a couple of contributions there. Super chats. My apologies for not saying hello. Hi to Free Energy. How many navvies were there in Ireland? They built an amazing amount of stuff. Some grafters, you, Paddy, says Free Energy. Cheers, mate. Thanks for that. And we also had a contribution from Stu281, who says, the baby Greta does my head in. Thanks, Stu, and thanks for your support, mate. I really appreciate it. There was a Telegraph story on Libya. Here it is. I mean, this is absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable. You ready for this? Britain has a duty to end Libya's bitter civil war. Con Coughlin in the Telegraph. This is absolutely fucking shocking. Con in the Telegraph goes on to say that other countries are taking the lead. Germany calling the shots there. The Turks are coming to the aid of the Government of National Accord, which was imposed on the people of Libya, of course. And the Russians are backing the rebel leader, General Khalifa Haftar, because he wants to overthrow the Government of National Accord. And, well, he might want to overthrow it, of course. I'm with the general on that one. Yes, my son. And Con Coughlin is bemoaning the lack of interest in this situation by the UK. Mother of divine Jesus Christ. I'll get a message now or two. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. I've got some Christian listeners. I couldn't give a shit. I don't believe in the Lord. I don't believe in Arnold or Jesus. Okay? It's an expression. What short memories we have, Con Coughlin, eh? Eh? Crispin Blunt headed up the Foreign Affairs Select Committee in the UK back in 2016. They published the most damning report of a UK Prime Minister in history ever. They said that David Cameron was a pathological fucking liar on Libya when he joined in with Barry Obama, the no-fly zone over Libya, the killing of Gaddafi and all of that. How short are our memories? This is only 4 years ago. Right? Imagine. Warmongering fucking journalists in the Telegraph. We should still be involved in Libya. What are we going to do, you know? This is the summary of what the Foreign Affairs Select Committee concluded back in 2016. Crispin Blunt. Cost him his job, by the way, Crispin Blunt. As the head of the committee. Cost him his job. Yeah. He was replaced by a fucking toxic Zionist called Tom Tugendhat, who's not the chairman anymore. He's gone as well. But he was slipped in there after Crispin Blunt had the fucking temerity to publish the truth about Libya to the British people. Not that the media was too interested in it at the time, of course. There it is on the screen. Oh. This report determines that UK policy in Libya before and since the intervention of March 2011 was founded on erroneous assumptions and an incomplete understanding of the country and the situation. Other political options were available. Political engagement might have delivered civilian protection, regime change and reform at a lesser cost to the UK and Libya. The UK would have lost nothing by trying these instead of focusing exclusively on regime change by military means. Having led the intervention with France, we had a responsibility to support Libyan economic and political reconstruction, but our lack of understanding of the institutional capacity of the country stymied Libya's progress in establishing security on the ground and absorbing financial and other resources from the international community. This is better summed up in a second. I'll give you another summary of it. The UK's actions in Libya were part of an ill-conceived intervention, the results of which are still playing out today. The UN has brokered this Government of National Accord. If it fails, and it is, the danger is that Libya will sink into a full-scale civil war. That was the desired outcome. Right? Okay. The government failed to identify that the threat to civilians was overstated and that the rebels included a significant Islamist element. Crispin Blunt actually said bluntly that Cameron was a liar. They knew they were lying when they talked up this threat to Libyan civilians. And they knew that the so-called rebels were in fact jihadi head-chopping fucking lunatics. Because our intelligence agencies funded and trained the same fucking jihadists. Cameron knew this. This report was damning. It was condemning back in 2016. And today, you've got the fucking warmongers in the media calling for the UK to take the lead in sorting out what's going on in Libya. Unfucking believable. Salon Magazine beautifully sums up what went on at the time. Okay? Gaddafi wasn't planning to massacre civilians. Of course he wasn't. Of course he wasn't. There was no evidence to suggest he was. This is the old Saddam Hussein myth. It's the everybody myth. It's the Bashar al-Assad myth. He's a madman. He's going to kill people. We've got to intervene. It's the humanitarian thing to do. It's a fucking lie. The myth was exaggerated by rebels, jihadi head choppers, and Western governments who based their intervention on little intelligence. The threat of Islamist extremists was ignored, and the NATO bombing made things even worse and paved the way for the jihadi head choppers and even gave them a base. And that base would be used to train, to educate, and then from there in North Africa, transport these head choppers to Syria. It's beautiful, isn't it? Eh? The NATO bombing plunged Libya into a humanitarian disaster. Thousands of people killed. Hundreds of thousands more displaced. Libya was transformed from the African country with the highest standard of living into a fucking failed state. And the truth shall set you free. But let's go back to Libya. Fuck it. Let's go back. Let's rake over the dead bodies. See what we can find. Psychopaths. You are fucking run. You are managed. You are owned. You are dominated by psychopaths. What are you going to do about it, you know? What are we going to do about it? I don't know. I'm going to leave it there today. I'm going to leave it there, to be sure. And I'm going to piss off. I've loads to do. Got quite a bit of research to do before chatting with Christopher Exley. To be respectful of Christopher, I've got to read the papers and his research material, and so that when he's explaining it to me, I can at least understand what he's telling me. He'll be on the show later on. I will have another guest, although I don't know who quite as of yet. We'll see how it goes. Fucking some shit show, isn't it? Why is David Cameron not in prison? The International Criminal Court, it loves black leaders from Africa, doesn't it? We've been a bit quiet for a while now, haven't we, at the ICC? Yes, we have. We have. We better get a fucking trial on. Any black guy from Africa will do that we can say killed a few people. David Cameron killed millions of people, probably. Tony Blair killed millions of people, certainly. The proof is there. Why, when the Foreign Affairs Select Committee published its findings, why wasn't David Cameron interviewed under caution by the Metropolitan Police? I contacted the police, do you remember? When Theresa May was threatening to bomb Syria, do you remember that? No joke, I contacted the police. I wrote them an open letter in her hometown. The open letter is available on the Richie Allen website, richieallen.co.uk. It was serious, it wasn't a gimmick, it wasn't a stunt. I said, you've got to arrest this fucker. I didn't say fucker. She's openly stating on television that she's planning on bombing fucking Syria. This is the announcement of the intention to commit the fucking crime. Arrest the fucker. Why was David Cameron not arrested? Tony Blair. You told the country that Iraq could bomb our eastern coastlines in 45 minutes. Saddam had the capability. But you knew that he didn't. And then you used that mendacity, that lie, to kill over 1 million Iraqis. You're a murdering fucking scumbag. Put your hands behind your back. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against, will be taken down and can and will be used against you in a court of law. You sick fucking bastard. But no. Crispin Blunt lost his fucking job as the chair of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, and they brought in a fucking Zionist. Former army guy. No, an avowed Zionist. Tom, I'm not just saying Zionist because it's an easy thing to say, it's a throwaway comment. A fucking avowed champion of fucking Zionism. Oh, Jesus Christ. Right, I'm out of here. Dog's going bananas downstairs. I've loads to do. I'll catch up with you at 5 o'clock on the Richie Adam Radio Show. Until then, bye for me. Bye.